Good morning. It is Tuesday, July the 30th of 2024. Live from our studios in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Right now, a few clouds out there, temperature of 70 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, you can also join us again by going to facebook.com and the Bow Falls Radio page. You can see a video stream, be able to ask questions, make comments there as well, and we will make sure to respond to them as well. But also, if you would like to join us by texting or calling, you can do that through the Civic Media app. There's a call button and a text button. And also, if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can call or text. Our number is the same either way. Call or text 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to a call or text us and join us here on the program. Coming up today in just a little bit at 8:34 a.m. we'll be talking to 87th Assembly District Republican candidate Corey Sillars. He is getting set in 2 weeks to be involved in a primary against Brent Jacobson for the Republican nomination in the 87th. And he will be with us, talk about some of the issues in that campaign and in Wisconsin as we get set for the primary and the general election. Also, we were scheduled to be joined by Brittany Merlot at 8:20, but unfortunately, Brittany's still a bit under the weather. So hopefully she'll be feeling better. We'll still talk a bit about the weather as we get set for Fair Week here in Wausau, and we'll have more details on us being out at the Wisconsin Valley Fair as well coming up at 8:20. But before any of that, we're very happy to start off our program again with Chad Daly from the Marathon County Public Library. Chad, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
Absolutely. Every other Tuesday, we get an opportunity to talk to Chad Daly from the Marathon County Public Library about activities going on at the library, and normally at a little after 9, but boy, they are making you run around a little early these days, aren't they?
Where it's all over the place. Yeah, it's summertime. People take vacations, of course, and so we fill in, we trade shifts, we fill in at other places and all of that, so... Yeah, it keeps it, keeps us guessing and keeps us hopping, yeah, sure.
It actually is better for you and for everybody to get up earlier because it's actually nice outside
yes,
now.
Exactly.
It's going to be too hot and too humid later
right,
on.
Right, yeah.
So, but it's great to have you here. And as I know, it's right. I mean, the summer, summer's flying right on
it
by.
Really it really is. It really is. And as hot as it is, it's a good reminder the library is, all of our libraries are, cooling centers in our communities, even if it's just coming in for the AC and sit down for a while and read a magazine or something like that. We have obviously water fountains or bubblers, as they call them in Wisconsin. you can always come in and cool off if you need to while it's hot outside. We're not going to be out at the fair like you are. We did that before, but we haven't done that in a while.
So. Well, the thing about that is I need to maybe take a couple of pounds off. So I'm just going to go out there and sweat for a number of days because it's so warm inside.
Sweat
that,
equity.
And I do not think that the building that we are housed in at the fair is considered a cooling center.
No, I'm sure it's
that's
not.
The bad news, but no, that's outstanding as well. But again, summertime and the activities continue at the Marathon County Public Library. I know it's a little different than maybe during the fall and the winter, but boy, things are still happening, aren't they?
Absolutely. Things are definitely still happening. We're finishing August pretty strong here, finishing our summer programming pretty strong. Lots going on across the system between movies and book clubs and craft programs and stuff for all ages. So, yeah, a few things going on this week, actually, today, this afternoon here in Wausau. We have a scratch art program. So it's using different materials onto a surface, and then you just basically kind of scratch it up to create something unique and different tomorrow afternoon in Rothschild. kids, tweens, even teens, and maybe adults too are welcome to come in and share their sports card collection. That's something we haven't tried before. So if you collect sports cards and want to see, check out other people's collections and maybe do some trading. We are not, sales will not be allowed on the premises, but you can make some trades if you want to or whatever. That gets underway at 4:30 tomorrow. And then starting tomorrow here in Wausau at 5 o'clock, it's our quarterly book sale, public book sale. So tomorrow, Wednesday, from 5 to 7:30 is members only. You have to be a member of the Friends of the Library group. You can join on the spot if you want. There's a spot online, and Chad pointed out earlier, we had a question on our Facebook page. Does a library card mean you are a member of the Friends group? Unfortunately, it does not. Library cards are free. There is a cost to become a member of the Friends group, but then it gets you access to all that great stuff, helps support the Friends and helps support the library, because all the funds go back to the library for programming. So member sale tomorrow night, and then opens to the public at 9:30 on Thursday, goes through Saturday. We will have our popular $6 bag sale on Saturday for all of the materials, but new this time around, they have quite a few kids and young adult books. It's getting backed up there. So it's a clearance sale of sorts. You can fill up a bag, and these are the brown paper grocery bags, with kids books or young adult books all weekend long for $6 a bag. So if you need some kids books, you can fit a lot of them in a paper grocery bag, and it's $6. So that'll be going on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The Saturday is $6 a bag for everything. So you can get times and all of that. I want to say it's 9:30 to 7:30 tomorrow, or Thursday, excuse me, and then 9:30 to 4:30 on Friday, and 9:30 to 3:30 on Saturday, I think. But you can check out our website, mcpl.us, for info on that.
Let me ask you real fast before you continue. You mentioned the fact that you got the question about, you know, does having a library card make you a member? Besides the members only book sale, is there any other that we call benefits to being a member of the Marathon County Public Library? Is that basically the reason behind becoming a member?
It is. It is the reason. The main reason is to have exclusive access to all of that material. But even the membership dues for the Friends group are part of the budget that they provide for us for programming. So even if you become a member of the Friends group, you never come to a book sale, that $10 if you're an individual, or you're 25 for your family, that also helps cover programming costs for the system. So we don't have to use funding out of our general fund budget. Our Friends are very generous in taking care of all the programming that we do all year long. And it's a lot, it's a chunk of change because we do a lot of programming. So we're really grateful. So that's the main benefit. They don't really do other activities outside of the book sales, but that keeps them plenty busy. They're in there a couple of days a week sifting through everything, and then certainly organizing the sales too.
It seems like you really have to do a lot of basically not falling behind when it comes to to all the materials that you do at the library.
It never stops. I mean, people are always bringing in donations, which we really appreciate, and we're also always, as we add new material to the system, we're taking old material out. So there are things that have been in the collection for a while that you can find at the sales. So if they weren't there, it would pile up even more really quick.
Other activities that you want to make sure to talk about here? But that's
We've got a movie Friday afternoon here in Wausau, Kung Fu Panda 4. Mozanee next week on the 6th at 5 o'clock is having a cat lover craft and social hour for adults. We have another movie for teens next Friday, the new Dungeons & Dragons movie. And looking ahead, the week of the 12th through the 17th here in Wausau, we will be having a community plant swap. So we'll have a couple of tables set up outside the main entrance. Drop off a plant or two or three, and if you see plants that you like, take it home. Lots going on, though.
The variety is something that always stands out. I mean, you're talking about you know, the artistic aspect, you talk about, you know, the floral aspect, you talk about the book aspect. I mean, there's always, you know, so many different varieties of things. And again, that's something that kind of jumps out in terms of the activities you do at the library. And I know it's not an accident.
No, it's not. All of our branches have planned their own events, and we have a whole team here in Wausau that's planning programming for all ages. You know, we want certainly kids programs. It's always the strength of our programming, but we want to make sure that teens and adults have things to do too. You know, it's a library for everybody.
And and also you talk about all the different branch libraries. We continue to talk about that. How much coordination is there with the branches in terms of the programming that say, hey, we want to have this here or this there? Is there a lot of that going on?
There is, yeah. I mean, we have regular programming discussions, or we're always emailing back and forth if they can come to us for, if they have ideas or want to try something, we can talk about it. We're always open to new ideas. They will, you know, if one branch has a program that goes pretty well, maybe another branch or two will do the same sometime later. Certainly with the summer programs and with the big performers that we have, like the Tom Pease and Randy Petersons, those we will coordinate because we're booking multiple shows with each person. So we want to, okay, so this person's going to be in Wausau and Edgar and Athens. We're going to put that person in Spencer and Hatley, you know. So, there's definitely a fair bit of coordination as far as that goes. And also craft supplies, because we keep a lot of that at Wausau, so we're sending stuff out all the time too.
Everybody make sure you check out the members book sale coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Check out more information and get the times and everything else you need. mcpl.us, right?
Yes, that's the one. Thank you so much.
And also follow Marathon County Public Library on Facebook.
Yeah.
Chad Daly, enjoy the rest of your day. We'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Thank you. You too. Stay
cool. The time is 8:18. We're going to come back, have more. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, you can join us as well at facebook.com. Go to the Bow Falls Radio page, be able to see a video stream of what we're doing, and be able to be part of the show by adding your questions and comments at facebook.com and the Bow Falls Radio page as well. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by 87th Assembly District Republican candidate Corey Sillars, as we are getting closer and closer to the primary election. And make sure that you note that Wisconsin's fall primary is August the 13th, which is just 2 weeks from today. Make a plan to be a voter in every election, from local to state matters. Be sure to make a plan to be a voter between now and Tuesday, August 13th. You can learn more about who and what is on your ballot this August, where your polling place is, and how you can request an absentee ballot. Just head to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov to get all that information and more. So, again, we are going to be keeping a very close eye on a number of different races that we will be voting on coming up in 2 weeks' time, included also a couple of referendum questions for the state constitution. And we'll continue to talk about that as we continue as well. We jumped right in our first segment. talking to Chad Daly from the Marathon County Public Library. Normally, in this time frame, we discuss the weather with Brittany Merlot, but Brittany, again, after returning from Oshkosh and returning from the EAA Air Venture, where she was all of last week, camping out for the past week, a bit under the weather. And so she is not going to be with us again this morning. Hopefully, she'll be able to join us tomorrow morning. But we need to say good morning to the folks behind the glass. In fact, I look over there. I normally see Ian Welsh sitting behind the microphone with the headphones on, but this morning, we have our intern who's with us through the rest of this month and next month, Aiden Bennett. And Aiden, I see that we put you in the pilot's chair this morning.
Yeah.
Are you finding everything working smoothly? I know that Ian has been showing you the lay of the land and showing you exactly what he does over in the producer's room. Is everything going smoothly over there?
Yes, it is.
Very good. And Ian, need to say good morning to you as well.
You're doing pretty good.
Very good. And obviously, you're doing a nice job teaching as well. But Ian, I wanted to mention to folks out there before we talk a little bit about the weather that you and I are going to be out at the Wisconsin Valley Fair starting later today. In fact, when I am done,
yes, we are.
When I'm done with this program, I'm going to be heading out to Marathon Park and get ready to sweat quite a bit as it's so very warm in the multi-purpose building that we're put in. We have a little area along with a number of other groups. And we're looking forward to being out there and saying hello to a lot of folks. So we would encourage people to stop on by. We got information for you. You can get stickers, Bull Falls Radio, Civic Media stickers. Mm-hmm. I have a printed out schedule of our high school football teams for the season. Have a schedule for our programming. And we will ultimately have the truth booth. It's not going to be there today. But it's being brought up from Madison later on this evening, and you'll have an opportunity starting tomorrow to be able to join us on the Truth Booth. But last year we were out there, and we're going to do it again starting later this morning.
It should be a lot of fun, absolutely.
So Ian will be out there, I think, from 1 till 4 today. I'm going to be heading out there. Yep, I'll be heading out there just after 10 o'clock when our show is done, and then I'll be back later in the afternoon as well after Ian takes off. And hopefully Brittany will be feeling better and be able to join us out there at some point during the course of the week. But it is the start of the Wisconsin Valley Fair. It goes on tonight. Today, actually, through Sunday, and so many folks, so many organizations, including ourselves. So, again, if you're heading out to the Wisconsin Valley Fair, whether it is today or whether it is sometime during the course of the rest of the week, make sure you find us, make sure you stop by our booth, and just say hello. And if you have any questions, we can answer them and be able to connect, and hopefully we'll see you out at Marathon Park sometime this week. No, we do not have Brittany here, but just to take a look at our weather forecast as we start Fair Week, and it is going to get hot, it is going to be humid, and it's going to be summer-like for the entirety of this week. I mean, you talk about, you know, Wisconsin Valley Fair and summertime, it is going to feel like summertime over the next number of days. For today, partly sunny skies. There is a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 4 p.m., and a high reaching 86 degrees. It's going to be a calm one out there. Calm winds becoming south-southwest around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. For tonight, there is a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 10 p.m., then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 p.m., some patchy fog after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low of 65. Then for tomorrow, Hump Day Wednesday, the final day of July, partly sunny, a slight 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 10 a.m. and a high near 87 degrees. Another very warm one tomorrow. Calm winds becoming southeast around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. And then for the rest of the week, it's going to stay warm. Thursday, mostly cloudy. There is a chance of showers and thunderstorms, and a much better chance of those showers and thunderstorms on Thursday. In fact, a 70% chance. So we have slight chances early in the week, but Thursday looks like a better chance of getting some rain and a high of 84 degrees. But then as we get to the weekend, and if you're going to go out, enjoy the fair for the weekend, it is going to be beautiful. Friday, sunny and 88. Saturday, sunny and 88. And then Sunday, a little bit cooler, mostly sunny, and a high near 80 degrees. Right now, in downtown Wausau, at our Bull Falls Radio Studios, at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, it is Fair Temperature stands at 70 degrees. The winds are calming, and we have seen some very calm conditions the last couple of days after much of the spring and summer has been very windy, but calm right now. The dew point is 67, relative humidity of 90%, the barometer at 29.84 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. So again, very exciting time. It's the midst of summer and a lot of great activities going on. And again, hopefully you can join us at the Wisconsin Valley Fair. Tonight's main stage entertainment will be 38 Special. And again, that's been a band that's been around for close to 50 years. And really outstanding. If you're one of those classic rockers like I am who love the music of the 70s and the 80s, it's a great show to come and see. So that will be tonight at the grandstand over at Marathon Park. The time is 8:28. Coming up, we're going to find out what's going on. Top and bottom of every hour, we give you an information update. We'll get the national and international news with CBS. We will have Terry Bell with a look at civic media news from around the state of Wisconsin. Brittany will have our news and weather from central Wisconsin. And Mike Clemens will talk about a nice Brewer win. The bats were booming last night for the Crew. We'll hear about what's going on in sports as well. It is a Tuesday morning. Glad you could join us. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is almost 8:29. Coming up next, going to continue to talk about election 2024, primary election day, just 14 days away. We're going to talk to 87th Assembly District candidate on the Republican side, Corey Sillars. That's coming up next. This is the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can join us by going to facebook.com, go to the Bow Falls Radio page, be able to see a video stream of what we're doing here in our studios every morning here on Bow Falls Radio. And again, we are just 14 days away from the first election, the primary election, as we get set to head to the polls on August the 13th. That's Tuesday, August the 13th. And a number of primary elections, as I mentioned earlier, also a couple of questions you'll need to be answering concerning the state constitution. But 87th Assembly District, there is a Republican primary, two candidates on the ballot, one of which, Brent Jacobson, and the other is Corey Sillars. And Corey Sillars, who's been with us before, is back again, and we're very happy to have him back. Good to see you again, Corey.
Good morning, everyone.
Well, number one, the last time we talked was a little bit further away. Now we're just 2 weeks away from the primary election. And something I'd like to ask candidates for office, especially those who are running to become a new member of the body they're running for. You obviously know what it's like to run for office. You are currently a member of the WASA School Board as well. But what have you found out in your campaign up to this point that maybe you didn't know before you started this campaign?
I think getting out and speaking to all the different business owners and the residents, originally collecting signatures in April, engaging. Actually, when I got signatures, I ran into a few Democrats that came to the door, talked to me, very cordial, signed my papers, actually. And they were very, very polite. One said, you know, we just probably don't agree on things. And I said, and he said, but take care and good luck. And I said, well, you take care as well. You know, another one had a flag in their yard and said, well, I'm a Democrat. And I said, but ma'am, we must agree on quite a few things. You have a flag in your yard. So the divisiveness that seems to keep coming out around election time, probably separates us more than what it has to, because there might be a lot of common things that we do agree on. But there's certain business things that I engage with people on that are just common. Both sides are business people, not just Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the grocery store. Everybody goes to the grocery store, right?
I sure hope so.
So we all, and the farmers and the truckers and all our hardworking people in 87th are the same way. And we all partake in the exact same products. And we typically just have a different way of getting to a solution for whatever problem it is, right? And it's shown me how good and positive so many people are in the rural areas here of the 87th. And I love engaging with them and so happy to have met so many.
I'm glad you said that, all of that, because something that we are trying to do here is from time to time and is to make sure that we do hear from different perspectives. I think it's important. I think that's something I've talked about the last number of weeks, that we, as we go into this election season, not to just hear from one side, but to hear from members of both political parties as we move towards November. And I found it interesting because I was actually going to ask you a question, because somebody had pointed out to me the last time that you come on the air that you had said at one point that basically everybody was agreeing with you. And that person said to me, well, then they obviously aren't talking to me. Have you been able to maybe get a wider array of perspectives than as the campaign has gone on? Because, again, when you came on, you said, boy, I can't believe how many people I talked to. They all seem to agree with me. And I had this person say, well, you know, they obviously aren't talking to me. How much of a variety of perspectives are there, even within the Republican Party? Because primaries are a little bit of a strange animal. And I will point out that yesterday I went onto my social media site and I saw an advertisement for your competitor, the other Republican on the ballot, Brent Jacobson, in case he came after you a little bit, saying that you had not answered some questions about certain, I would say, issues that would cater more towards the right wing of our electorate. And that it also said that was not happy with your commercials, as we had talked about previously. When you're running a primary, and I think it can be both on the Democratic side and the Republican side, we can ultimately end up in a race to the far edges of our parties. Are you finding in this primary that you're not being forced to, but that a lot of the discussion is moving quite a ways towards the far right part of this party? Are those the discussions you're having with the people? And is that where you feel like you have to go during a primary? And then, of course, that word that we often hear is pivot once we get to the general election.
Yeah, I don't believe I'm giving any far right wing answers and being forced to. What I do is tell people exactly where I stand, where I have always stood. Giving the voters the information, both on myself and I have chosen through my ads on my opponent as well, and then having the response from the other side of the primary with multiple forces coming after me. I'm not the victim. I was expecting it. To me, it's getting a little out of hand. But at the same time, I've always been a conservative. I'm running on the Republican ticket. I'm a conservative. I'm pro Second Amendment. I go hunting. I'm pro school choice. I'm pro life. I have always been those things. We get a whole pile, 20, 30 different surveys from multiple groups across the state about our positions. Candidate questionnaires. I've chosen not to respond to some of them. I've responded to some that my opponent has. I've answered the exact same way my opponent has, but I'm not endorsed by the same groups. So what's going on there? Why are there multiple flyers coming out pointing out my normal and a lot of other normal business practices that people have done over the past years? Well, that's because, to me, that means I am a true conservative. They are attacking me heavily to try to find any little chink in the armor that I don't have, because I'm not wanting to go to medicine to empower myself to get something out of medicine. I want to go to medicine to actually represent all of the people, even though I know we're going to disagree on certain things. The whole district isn't Republican. It isn't conservative. But there's things that can better our district and better our state, and we can find those small, sometimes maybe small, common areas, and I can represent you. I think other decisions should have been made differently over the last couple of years. So I would ask leadership to change how we do stuff. That doesn't mean I'm going down there to be a roadblock to a bunch of things. You can't get anything done by yourself. I've worked with the past representatives as a normal businessman, citizen. I've already worked with them. I work towards pro-housing things to help lower the cost of housing. We need to do that through deregulating and not implementing codes that increase the cost. We have to just reprioritize how we spend our state budget money.
Let me ask you a few questions about different issues, and let's start right there. You talk about state budget money, and again, we're talking to Corey Sillers, 87th Assembly District, a Republican candidate, the primary coming up in 2 weeks' time. Let's talk about coming up in 2 weeks, we have constitutional amendment questions. I think it sort of goes into some of the thought processes of the Republican majorities in the state legislature, as they want to frankly take away some of the power of the governor when it comes to spending federal emergency money. And that, I think, can be an umbrella over what we've seen the last number of years, going back to the lame duck when Tony Evers was first elected. They had a took away some aspects of power towards the governor. We have seen some money that's been appropriated that has not been spent because they've been able to hold it back for whatever reason. I guess my first question is, what are your thoughts on the two questions that people are going to be voting on in 2 weeks' time when it comes to the constitutional amendments?
I've seen and read multiple opinions on how things should go. Republican Party in general is pushing yes votes on both of those. I've seen some neutral stances as well. And then I've also seen ads about no. I haven't completely, I've read them multiple times. I haven't completely dived into the specifics. I will vote yes on both of them.
Why? I guess, you know, you said you're kind of, is it just the party says you should, or is there specific reasons that, because I think one of the aspects that's been talked about why some folks are against it is the fact that there have been times where the legislature has been out of session for months at a time, upwards of 300 days in recent years, and that we have seen Republicans, as I said just a moment ago, that have been able to block appropriated money from being spent in issues such as PFAS and others. Why is it important that the legislature, which in a situation, and again, emergency funding from the federal government, why would they have to take away this part of the governor's powers?
The legislature obviously has the power of the purse in general, right? That excuse me, that's their constitutional powers. Who's defining the emergency powers? Is it a bureaucrat? Or does this switch give the legislature the ability to represent the people and decide what the emergency powers, emergency situation is?
Mm-hmm.
Does it force them then to work with the executive branch in closer situations, right? And actually work together for the people? No matter what side you're on, does it force conversations? I would think it does. I'm not even going to speculate on whether, you know, before when Governor Walker was around and how things changed at that time, if any of that has created what we have now, and somebody's trying to backtrack on it. Any other probably really they're attempting to change the Constitution on a few things because it's tough to work. The two branches are not finding it easy to work together, right?
Real quickly, because something that I find interesting, this is, again, changing the Constitution. Should the Constitution be changed because of political issues? And frankly,
it could be viewed as a political issue in this case, couldn't it?
And that's the thing that I find a little concerning, and it could be, you know, in a whole host of different areas where you don't want to be changing the Constitution because you want to have a little bit more political power. I guess there's a concern there that the changing of the state constitution should not be, for lack of a better term, a power grab by either side. And it feels like this is sort of like, we want it in this situation. Republicans in a majority want to take some power from a Democratic governor. Well, we're not always going to have a Democratic governor. Maybe those of us are hoping that maybe someday we'll see a Democratic majorities in the state legislature. Do you agree with the idea of using the Constitution maybe to try to gain political points?
The Constitution, as it has been described by others in the past, it's not a living, breathing entity, right? Nationally, it was set up, federally, it was set up a certain way to give all of us certain rights and protections. It shouldn't necessarily flow all the time.
We got to take a one-minute break. We're going to come back, talk more with State Assembly candidate Corey Sillars. The time is 8:49. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. 87th Assembly Republican candidate Corey Sillars with us. You mentioned the fact when you were talking about some of the areas in terms of policies that you believe in, you talked about school choice. And obviously, you have a position as a member of the Wausau School Board, and right now the Wausau School District has some budget issues as well. Should you be elected to the Assembly, what is your philosophy in terms of education spending? Because I think there is, again, that is an area that has very different opinions, and the idea of trying to, some folks are saying you cannot fund two different educational systems in the state of Wisconsin and do it well. And obviously questions about, different areas of how open maybe a private school can be with some of their decision making and the way that they've done things traditionally. I guess if you were to be elected, how would you look at education? Do you think that there's more that can be done at the state level, especially on the public school side? I'm going to ask you about that. But just generally, do you feel as though school choice is where it should be? Should it be either expanded or changed in any way? I guess education policy, what is your look at it? Because obviously you're very close to it being a member of the board here in Wausau.
Yeah, and I've had discussions with some of the school business people here in Wausau. School choice is important. Parents' rights to take their money and their student to where they feel the student's going to get the best education, I agree with. Does that mean what we're going to divide into private and public? Does that mean the public side suffers? It's on a 3-year rotating average, which should give districts the opportunity to adjust however they need to. Can we just simply give districts more money? I think the answer is no, not without some stipulations behind it, not without some additional accountability. Is the district being efficient? Is the administrator doing whatever they can to hold the costs? Is your building footprint too big? These are all the kind of things I've been discussing over the last few months related to the school funding issue. Tigerton area, students are moving to Wittenberg because of sports. Tigerton's suffering. What do we do for Tigerton? What do we do with Athens? As well, different situations out there too where they almost failed. Merrill's tried to pass a referendum, I believe 7 referendums, all failed. What does that mean? It means the residents in the Merrill School District is asking the administration to do something different, offer them something different.
Let me push back just slightly on this. When you talk about the referendums, the fact that so many school districts, and school districts often in conservative areas, the folks get into school boards and realize, hey, we are not being funded properly. Do you think that over the last 15 years that that the amount of funding that's come from the state of Wisconsin has kept up with the needs of the school districts beyond all those areas that are important in terms of accountability? But do you think that going back to the start of the Walker administration, an argument that's made by Democrats especially is that the funding has not kept up with the needs of these schools? Do you think that funding has been at the level it needs to be? And if you were to become a member of the state assembly, are you open to increasing funding to a level that maybe some of these school districts, as I said, often in conservative areas, don't have to go to the voters as often as they do, because they look at the numbers and say, well, there's no easy answers in terms of cutting back in all these areas. We need more funding.
Yeah, there's no easy answers, no matter which side of the argument you are on. The one side of the argument is simply per pupil costs have not been kept with inflation over the last 15, 19 years. We've heard that from our administrators in Wausau. They presented this multiple times that we're behind millions and millions of dollars over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now here we are with tough decisions in Wausau. The other side is, about the referendums is you're giving people local control. SPASH, Stevens Point area, did approve, I believe, about a $14 million. And I also believe it's just forever. It's until they take it away. So that community decided the way their system is set up, we want to support this and keep it the same. So they voted yes on their referendum, right? So that's the two sides. Do you wish to have local control over the school issue and allow the communities to decide? Or do you just want the state to continually give money to areas and school districts that aren't producing a good student, right? Some of the students are struggling. So that's the two sides. It's in which philosophy? Well, I prefer local control. What does that mean? Well, it means if you want things to stay the way they are, or you want certain things in the district, then come out and vote on the referendum that's presented to you by your district, right?
And we're running out of time here. I want to jump real quickly here. The idea, though, again, what is the role then of the state government when it comes to funding for schools? Because you're saying, well, the local folks should go out there and vote for these referenda. Well, the reason the referenda are happening is that the idea is that the state is not funding properly some of these school districts. I guess it would be fair to say that you do not see yourself voting for, I would call, less massive increases in school funding, that the levels at this point are they something that you're comfortable with, I guess is the way to put it.
Chad, I don't know every little nut and bolt, and I'm very willing to express that to the listeners. Could it be a little more? Yeah, it probably could be a little more. Should it? Maybe for certain districts. And I have discussed on the campaign trail about maybe with smaller schools in certain situations, there should be a special situation, mm-hmm. An exception of sorts for that funding for them if they're in hardship. Or maybe we need to look at a new system where we're making it simpler for a couple of the small districts right next to each other to get together and be one. Now you have one administrator, right? You gain efficiencies in things. So thank you so much for the time today.
No, I tell you, I mean, well, three more things I wanted to ask you. Maybe it's good for you that we're out of time. No. I appreciate you coming in. I appreciate the idea that we can have a discussion about these issues, and hopefully folks out there learned a little bit more, better informed, because number one, we want to make sure everybody goes out and votes in 2 weeks of this primary, and I know that you and others that were on the ballot are working exceptionally hard to talk to folks and hopefully make this system work, because that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah, got to go vote, and thank you so much for being balanced in your reporting.
That's Corey Sillers. Again, he is the 87th Assembly candidate. Again, he'll be on the ballot coming up on August the 13th, a primary election on the Republican ticket. We're going to come back. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.